Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time to talk some tournament segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan Talking Tournament. Good afternoon, Scott. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great on this Friday afternoon. Hope you guys are doing well yourselves.
We are. Yeah, I mean, that Tech comeback last night was pretty amazing. Lakers losing with a half-court shot. So we're pretty basketball excited here in the Metroplex on a Friday afternoon. And Scott, Paige Becker's coming to the league. Is she going to transform the wings or what?
I think she will. I think she'll be a great selection if the Wings are the ones who end up deciding to go with her at number one. I had the pleasure, I guess it is. I live in Iowa to cover Caitlin Clark the last few years and saw Paige Beckers up close last year in the Final Four. So she'll do great things. I don't think she'll have the Caitlin Clark impact, but nobody else does either.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Well, Scott, what was it like covering with Clark? What was it like with, how was it? Was it a circus atmosphere? What was that like?
Yeah, I would compare it a lot of cases to maybe what Michael Jordan would have been like in the 90s in Chicago.
Sure.
Every single arena was sold out in the Big Ten, at home, the entire season. And in fact, there were places in the Big Ten like Northwestern where you might get 500-700 people there to a women's game, and instead you're paying those same prices, $500-700 just to get in the door. And then throughout the Big Ten, I mean, you saw a surge. I think an average of 10,000 more seats sold at these road games, and you'd see, you know, close to 1,000, usually younger people, girls and boys, that would crowd like the tunnel areas wherever she was just to try to get an autograph, a handshake. It was a phenomenon that I've never seen before in any kind of sport. And I covered the NFL for 6 years. So she's one of a kind. And as we see in air impact in year two of the WNBA, all these teams are moving their games to the bigger, more NBA arenas just to accommodate what should be incredible turnout.
So have the Iowa fans become Indiana Fever fans?
Yes, absolutely. That and they were the Vegas, Las Vegas Aces as well because of Kate Martin, but now she's with Golden State. But yeah, you go to a lot of the sporting goods stores. Indiana Fever, they're having in fact, it's funny, they're scrimmaging or playing an exhibition against the Brazilian team in May in Iowa City. The tickets sold out in 15 minutes. Mm. It was incredible. And I think the resale value right now is $600 a ticket.
So, Scott, I do want to talk college basketball with you, but we are big draft nerds on this show. And one of our favorite running backs is Caleb Johnson, who played with your Iowa Hawkeyes there, who you're covering. Can you share with us any insight on Caleb Johnson as he's getting ready for this NFL draft?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. If you remember David Johnson when he played with the Cardinals, that's the kind of running back you're going to get. He's physical. He's really a long strider, has really good feet and power, but also some elusiveness. That's not necessarily his forte, but he had, I think, 21 runs of 20 plus yards this year, because once he gets past that second level, it's really hard to catch him, even though he is a bigger back. He's 6'1", 6'2", probably 225, 230, and it really kind of grew into that role. He always had the natural ability, but this year he was able to kind of run behind his pads. He was able to make himself get small when he needed to, but really was very powerful. So I think if second round, if Jerry wants to make that pick, I think that would be a terrific one for the Cowboys, unless they want to go with Ashton Jeanty in the first round, and he might be just a little better than Caleb.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic here on The Fan. So you think round two for Caleb's good?
Yeah, I think so. If you could get him in, what would it be, somewhere in the early 40s that Dallas picks in the second round, I think he would be he'd be a really good pick. Yeah, absolutely.
So being there in Big Ten country, we've got several Big Ten teams in action tonight in the Sweet 16. Ole Miss will be starting off with Michigan State. That'll be our first game nationally televised on CBS, but also Michigan and Auburn, Purdue and Houston. What do you think about the Big Ten's chances to maybe get all three in the Elite Eight?
I would say I would favor one of those three, and that would be Michigan State against Ole Miss, and that's got kind of an interesting battle of styles. Ole Miss is one of the best teams in the country when it comes to turnover margin, and Michigan State's not great there, but Michigan State's second in the country in rebounding margin, and Ole Miss is terrible there. So I think Michigan State probably has the edge in that area. They've got they're really balanced. They don't necessarily have a lot of great scorers, but they've got a tremendous coach. And I think that, they're first in the country in field goal defense. I think they can probably get past Ole Miss. But Michigan playing Auburn, this is not one that I would probably go with the Big Ten. I think Auburn's just too deep. I mean, when you have Jahni Broom, he's just, if it's either him or Cooper Flagg. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now you got me in football mode. Mm-hmm. Cooper Flagg is two of the best players in the country. So pick one and you're not wrong. And I think Auburn's too deep, got too much scoring. Michigan's, they've got some players, but this was an incredible year for them because they were last place by four games last year in the Big Ten. Now, a team that's really been underrated is not that far from you is Houston. And number one in scoring defense, defensive efficiency, I think Purdue plays right into their hands. They've got two great players, and the rest of them are a bunch of players. And so I think with Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman-Wren are terrific. But I think Houston puts the clamps on them, and I think this one could be a 15-point outcome probably for the Cougars.
Hey, Scott, you're talking about all these Big Ten teams, and I was just curious before we get you out of here, is your thought about how the expansion of the Big Ten and the future of the Big Ten with the expansion?
Yeah, I think on the basketball end, it's gonna be solid. Yeah, it's been 25 years since the Big Ten won a national championship, and really it's just going to be a matter of could any of those teams, whether it's UCLA or Indiana now with a new coach or Michigan State or whoever, can get a guard or two who can really make things happen or get the best player in the country, and that's something the Big Ten hasn't had over that period. In football, it's clearly an upgrade. What we saw with Oregon. Ohio State played at a high level. This year coming up, you've got Penn State. I think Michigan will bounce back with a new quarterback and Bryce Underwood, the number one recruiter of the country. I think the Big Ten is much more solid right now in football. You're waiting for USC to come around. Other than that, Washington to return to what it was a couple of years ago. So, but basketball, I mean, you're always judged by can you get to the Final Four and can you win a championship? And I'm not so sure that it helps them in that regard other than it just makes it a deeper conference than it usually is.
Scott Docterman, Athletic Talking Tournament with us. Thank you so much, Scott. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me.
Salute. There he goes. And a must follow. I think especially if you're interested in Big Ten sport.
Big Ten.
Very versatile college sports reporter there, Brian. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you recognize that about him.
Yeah, sure.
Calvin Watkins reporting Micah and his agent expected to ask for a $200 million contract here in the morning news today. That's easy right there. No problem. $40 million a year, 5 years. Bump it up a little bit to get him a little bit more than Jamar Chase, I believe, at 40.25. That's the top. Go ahead and make Mike a number one. Should be no problem for the Cowboys. I mean, they're paying Dak like $5 or $6 million more than any other quarterback.
Sure.
Should be no problem. But I just wonder what's holding up this deal, Brian. And maybe they just don't want to work that hard. That's one theory. Mm-hmm. That we're going to offer you a team-friendly deal early. If you don't like it, we'll give you a player-friendly deal at the deadline. That appears to be what they do. They cave. But could they all – I had this thought driving in. Could they be engagement farming? Like what we're doing right now, what ESPN, what NFL Network does. You know how much that is worth? Just getting all those segments in, it's millions and millions of dollars of marketing.
Absolutely.
So, hey, we pay our players more, but you know what happens? NFL Network and ESPN give us about $200 million worth of advertising over these stories.
Yeah, it's funny that you would just think of that because
I say this in
respect. You're the one that always told me this. I never wanted to believe you when you said, Broadus, it's about the marketing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Dawson's, it's about the winning. The winning. Yeah. They want to win. Come on, man. You never sat in that chair. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised you just came up with that thought because
I'm disappointed in myself. I'm a little slow these days.
You can't discount the number of eyeballs that are on these programs. And it's every morning and podcasts. And it's, you know, even when there's no intention of talking about it, they're talking about it.
They don't suck this bad at negotiating, Wolchek. It makes no sense.
Mm-mm.
They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot of these I've wondered as well. Do they wait to the final hour because it's going to generate the conversation and it allows them to stay in the news cycle? I know we got a lot of Tolos that text that in. Yeah. Like they'll wait on Micah like they've waited on Dak. They waited on CD. I mean, it was the NFL season opener. Opening day in the NFL. Mm. And what was the big story? The Cowboys announced their deal with Dak Prescott.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't put it past them that they do love the conversation. And I do think that it's silly because even if they got ahead of some of these things, they'll find another way to talk about the Cowboys. So I don't think that you have to have these deals. Honestly, you're doing yourself a disservice by not getting ahead of it. But there's got to be some truth to that.
I am excited about where this draft is headed, though. Either a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, or a wide receiver, or a corner, maybe outside shot for a corner. Like something exciting is going to happen
at 12. You can keep going.
There's more spots?
Just keep going.
More positions?
Yeah, more positions to be. Yeah, this is a huge draft for them. I'm not saying anything you guys already don't know. But they have to... They have to find a way to hit this, and they also have to find a way to hit in college free agency afterwards and spend some money and go get some guys that were on their draft board that they think can play. They still got a lot of holes to fill. But I tell you what, I give them credit for the way that they used trades, and then they went and signed free agents. If they would have just sat there and done nothing, this team would have been completely doomed. It's still not out of the woods. But at least they gave themselves a chance to draft, and that's what they needed.
David Murphy coming up at 4:00 here in the Nation. Former Ranger great, World Series participant, joins us at 4:00. Ranger broadcaster David Murphy. Krusty's Corner coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking that?
Yeah, I've got some day 2, day 3 guys that Wolchek and I are going to go through just to kind of give you an idea of who they are. We'll do that next.